Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and I'd just like to thank you all for joining us on tonight for this segment of Nothing But the Truth. And tonight's topic is going to be about the agents of reconciliation, the agents of reconciliation. Amen. And before we get started in our lesson, as always, let's have a word of prayer. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, we come now ready to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We ask now, God, in Jesus' name, that you would open our eyes, open the heart of our understanding to receive your word on today, O Lord God. Help us, O Father God, that we will apply this as word to our everyday lives, O Lord God, that we will be an example to men, women, boys, and girls, Lord God, what you look like in the earth today, O Lord God. The subject matter is one of sensitivity, O Lord God, so we need Holy Spirit to open our eyes, take away our own opinions, O Lord God, and let your word come forth. We command every lie of doctrine, O Lord God, every live opinion, God, to be rolled back, O God, and that your truth, the word is your truth, that it may come forth, O God, that it may stand alone in our lives, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, God. We need you, and we cannot get along without you, O Lord God. So, Father, we pray now, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It is so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. We did bring the word on Sunday, and we talked to the congregation about becoming agents of reconciliation. And it is to my heart's dismay in the body of Christ now that we have so many who are saying things like delete people. We have so many who are saying things that are not of God, and it does not bring unity to the body of Christ. Listening to a man of God, and he was talking about all of his haters and you know, who his haters are and how people didn't want him to succeed and things of that nature. And my topic, as I gave a little short excerpt about the lesson, who cares about our haters? Who cares? The Bible never told us to be concerned with our haters, but to know that they're there. We all know that the Bible talks about and says that those who love God will be hated by the world. Now, the interesting factor about that is that when the Bible talks about the world, it's talking about those who don't know God. It's talking about those who are non-believers. And so when we look at that, we have to understand and begin to ask ourselves, so why are we calling those who know God haters? Why are we calling them haters? They're not haters. They belong to the same family that you belong to. We have to understand that when we do this, we're only adding fuel to the fire. We're only giving a stick to the enemy to beat down the saints of God. And we have to not allow these types of things to bring division in the body of Christ. The enemy wants to keep confusion in the church, and it's time for us to get back to the ministry of reconciliation. So on tonight, we just want to talk about that a little bit more and begin to put aside, begin to put at rest, begin to bury the mindset of having haters. You know, I think that really what it is that we need to be saying is that we have those in the church who, for whatever reason, we've come to have a disagreement with. We're not walking in agreement. But we know that the Word of God also says, how can man walk together except they agree? We have to get to a position of coming in agreement and not being so people of God who walk away from things and not get it straightened out. And so on tonight, I want to look at just in particular, I want to start in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew, the sixth chapter, I'm sorry, Matthew 5, Matthew the fifth chapter, verses 23 and 24, for those of you that have your Bibles that can turn to that, if you would be so kind as to do that. And we're going to start there. The Word of God says, so if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar, and first go and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. the word of God here plainly shows us that reconciliation is so important to God. So he said, don't even bring me your gift. Don't even bring me an offering until you go and be reconciled unto your brother. And because of this, the importance of this, it's amazing to me how we walk so in disagreement in the Bible, how we have attitudes, how we don't want to talk to each other, how we fall out and never fall in. I have a saying in my circle of friends, we have to learn how to fall out and fall back in because that is what God would have us to do. We have to learn how, according to Scripture, be reconciled with your brother. If you have an out, if you have a disagreement, if you have something that has come and given some type of a disarray or has disjointed the body, the word of God is telling us it is imperative, my God, to glory, that before you even bring me your gift, before you even bring it to me to the altar, I need for you to lay it down and go and be reconciled with your brother. So why is it then that we're finding ourselves not doing that? Why is it then that we seek to be disjointed in the body of Christ? We have to learn. We must learn how to be reconciled. We have to learn how to be the agent of reconciliation. And I know sometimes that's not easy. You know, we look at the fact that the person may feel like you come to them, you saying that you were in the wrong. That doesn't matter who was in the wrong or who was in the right. What matters is that we always be unified in the body of Christ. So it's learning how to take down our pride and be able to go to our brother and sister and say, look, you know what? We need to come into agreement. We need to, you know, get this thing together, because that's the way God would have us to do. Remember the word of God says, and by this shall men know that you are the children and the sons of God, is that you have love one for another. We don't just fall out. We don't just agree. We start using words like haters. We start using words like, you know, I can't stand them. And we're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. And so we have to learn how to become agents of reconciliation. Another scripture that I wanted to look at tonight was 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. It says, now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, in Christ. God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. That's a phenomenal scripture. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 18 and 19. Now, we know in the beginning of time there was division, there was some disjointing in the Garden of Eden. We understand that the enemy was able to come in. He was able to sow a seed of discord between Adam and Eve. He was able to whisper into her ear and tell her something that pulled her away and caused man to sin. And in doing so, the Bible says that God poured himself, that Adam and Eve could no longer walk with God in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day, that it separated us. Sin separated us. You know what I'm saying? This disjointedness separated us. And then God says that he needed to reconcile man unto himself. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Jesus Christ came that we might be reconciled to him. And God said because he cared enough of us to reconcile us to him, we also have to have the ministry of reconciliation. We can't let division and strife and bitterness and resentment and all this stuff build up in us. Amen, somebody. We have to learn how to be the agent of reconciliation. We have to learn how to build a bridge of peace and understanding between people, between groups, between whomever. God is saying that in the body of Christ, I need for you to be unified. It's amazing to me how we have those who, all of us, believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we have division about particular things. We can't learn how to walk in agreement. I was thinking about the saying of how we say, you know, let's agree to disagree. Where is that in the Bible? The Bible says, how can you walk together except you agree. And so we've got to begin to learn how to not take the cliches and the sayings of the world and try to apply them in the body of Christ when they are totally contradictory to what the Word of God says. He said that we have to learn how to walk in unity and learn how to walk, you know, in togetherness. And so and because of that, we can't say, let's just agree to disagree. How are you going to walk in disagreement? Come on, people of God. So we can't say these cliches because they sound catchy and begin to try to make them applicable in the house and hold of faith. We can't do that. And so here we have, again, the Word of God telling us that we have to learn how to have the message that he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. He's committed that to us. He wants us to always find a way to reconcile. It's not about who's right. It's not about who's wrong. It's about coming into agreement in the body of Christ, that there'll never be a place of disjointedness in the body. Come on, somebody. You know, if you knock your knee out of place, it's so painful that you're trying to snap that baby back in place. Come on here, somebody. And so we have to learn how that we're one body of Christ. We're one body. We're one. And so if something isn't right within the body, we have to do whatever it takes to get it back in line. Amen, somebody. And so that's what the Word of God will have us is that unity within the body of Christ is on a high agenda of God. It's a priority for God. In Psalms 133 and 1, it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers can live together in unity. It's good and pleasant to God. We walk together in unity. It's not anything that brings joy to the body. It's not anything that brings joy to the kingdom. And it's not anything that brings joy to our Father when we walk in disharmony. And so we've got to learn how to walk in harmony. We've got to, you know, let that be the forefront of our minds. Pastors, we have to learn, you know, not to sow seeds of discord with your members towards other people or things of that nature because somebody didn't agree. We have to learn that. We have to learn how not to just ostracize people or count them out because of a disagreement. We have to learn how to have the ministry of reconciliation, and we have to learn how to become agents of reconciliation. Make sure that we're not the one who's putting the wood on the fire of disharmony. Make sure that we're not the one that's carrying gossip or that's carrying things that's only going to ignite, come on somebody, that's going to ignite the situation of discord and not going to bring any unity into that thing. We have to become the agent of reconciliation. The third scripture that I wanted to look at on tonight, it says that let all bitterness, anger, wrath, insult, slander must be removed from you along with wickedness and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another just as God also forgave you in Christ. And that's Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Now, isn't it amazing how the saying, again, another cliche, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget it. Was that in the Bible? Okay, God himself said he cast our sins in the sea of forgiveness where it would never rise against us again. And since we want to be like God, come on, somebody. We have to learn how to cast people's sins in the sea of forgiveness and not go deep sea diving. Come on. Not go deep sea fishing, trying to pull that thing back up and use it against them, somebody. God is really, really trying to get the body. I believe that this end day world, that this time, the word for this season, I believe God is saying that it's time for my people to get back to a place of reconciliation, becoming agents of reconciliation, doing whatever it takes to stay in the bond of unity. Amen. I believe that's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so here he said, put all bitterness and anger and wrath, look at this, insult and slander, not insulting people, you know, not being bitter towards people. We have to do everything that we can to bring unity to the body of Christ. You know, unity to my sister and brother. Unity to the different churches. Come on, somebody. Unity. God is saying that we have to be the agent of reconciliation. All of this must be removed from you along with wickedness. All of these things along with wickedness have to be removed from you. And that we must have a kind and a compassionate. We must be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just that God also forgave you. You know, it's amazing to me how we try to hold people hostage to unforgiveness. Can I just hold my hand up for a second? Been there, done that. And God had to bring me to a place and to a position of understanding how imperative it is to forgive. Because sometimes we feel like we're justified. Sometimes we feel like we're justified in not forgiving. And God has brought me to such a place. Recently buried my nephew who was murdered. A senseless read in the paper about how they had found and arrested somebody for his murder. 19-year-old young man. Can I just say a 19-year-old teenager? We try to make them grown before that time. And my heart sank. I was so saddened because I was like, oh, my God, this young man has committed 2 murders. He murdered my nephew, and now he's murdered his purpose. My God to glory. He's murdered his purpose. Right before Mother's Day, I was praying for his mother because I could understand and I could empathize with the fact that she said Mother's Day is coming up. Her son's bond is $500,000. Where am I going to get that kind of money? And I could just feel her hurt. I could feel her pain and begin to pray for her, begin to pray for the young man. Why? Because my holding resentment, my holding unforgiveness was not going to do anything to bring glory and to bring honor to God. Come on, somebody. We've got to learn, hallelujah, in the body of Christ to learn how to forgive. And I hear you saying, but you don't understand. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know that they raped me. You don't know that they beat me. You don't know what they did to me. And then you would tell me to forgive them. You would tell me to reconcile myself to them because they say they're of God. Yes, I would tell you that. Hallelujah. Because God can be glorified if you will allow him to use the ministry of reconciliation in you and forgive them no matter what it is to reconcile yourself to them. Agent of reconciliation. Amen. And be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to what it is God will have you to do with reference to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I know it's hard. I know that it's not an easy thing to do. And we would love to be able to debate, and we would love to feel like, you know, God understands and he doesn't mind if I be angry at him. But that is not what the word of God would say. You don't understand. They used me. You don't understand, Pastor Pierce. You have no idea what I went through. I came to tell you, whatever you've gone through, it cannot even begin to compare to what our Lord and Savior went through to get you reconciled back to the Father. Come on, somebody. Whatever you've gone through, it cannot even begin to compare to what Christ had to go through. So, yes. And what did Christ say on the cross? What did he say? Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. They don't even begin. They can't even understand. They can't even begin to understand. And I need for us to begin to look at it. If I could just minister a little bit here, begin to understand that the Bible says that we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of wickedness in high places. So this thing isn't even about the person or what the person did to you. We need to direct our attention to who we need to direct it to, and that's the enemy. And we have power, come on somebody, over the enemy. And we will begin to bind the enemy and not fight with flesh and blood. Oh, somebody going to pray with me and say amen in a few minutes. And we can begin to learn how to bind the enemy. And we can begin to understand that it's not the person, but it's the spirit behind the person. That they've succumbed to something and let something be stronger than it should be, because it shouldn't have any place and it shouldn't have any authority. And so we can just begin to stand in intercession, begin to stand in intercession for our brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, having a weak moment. Hello, somebody. And so we've got to begin to understand that reconciliation can be accomplished, and it can be a continuing process. We have to begin to understand that reconciliation is a result of what Christ did on the cross. Come on, somebody. And we have to learn, even as Paul said in the gospel ministry, he said that it is fit. He said that we have to be like him. We have to function on God's agenda. We have to function as God's agents, proclaiming what has been accomplished and use that to the glory and the honor of God. God has appointed us to preach the word of reconciliation. He's appointed that to us. That's a mandate to us. It's not a choice. We don't get to choose, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. Hello, somebody. This is a mandate, and God will have us to now have a ministry of reconciliation. We have to understand that God reconciled us unto him through Jesus Christ, and that we have to be agents of reconciliation ourselves. We have to begin to announce it. We have to begin, and sometimes you've got to press past your own pride. Yes, I said it. You have to press past your own pride that would tell you, no, I'm not going to do that. I didn't do anything wrong. Neither did Jesus. Hello? Neither did Jesus. But he still died on the cross. Oh, my God, to glory, that we can be reconciled. And we have to do the same. Even if we didn't do anything wrong, we have to put pride aside and allow God to reconcile that relationship. Allow God to use that particular instance so that he can get glory from our life. So that's what we want to begin to do. We want to be the gospel ministers of reconciliation. We want to be the ones who will bring glory and honor to God by our taking down to our own flesh and letting God arise. Let God arise and the enemy be scattered. I remember growing up, and there was a game that we used to play in school, and I'm sure it was to be a life lesson. I believe the specifics were that we would be in a circle and somebody would start with the word or with the phrase, and then they would whisper it or tell it to the next person. And then the next person would have to take what they said, and then they'd have to add something to it. And it would go around the circle to see when it got back to its original place, was it even close to what had been started out to say? And most oftentimes, it was not. So we have to learn how to do what God tells us to do and not try to add anything to it, not try to take anything away from it. And most of the time, we get information secondhand, thirdhand. Somebody said, and it's not coming from the direct source. And so by the time that somebody said that said something to the somebody who said, and by the time it gets to you, it's all discombobulated. And you done got upset, fell out with the person, mad, never want to talk to them again. And you didn't even go to the source to find out what was really said. Here's another thing we have to do. Even when we address issues, we have to go to the source with our mindset already made up that I'm going to reconcile. I'm going to reconcile in this particular situation. I'm not going to stir it up. I'm not going to add fuel to it. My mindset is to go and make this thing right. How many of us go to people when we've fallen out with somebody? How many of us go with the mindset that I am going to fix this thing? I am going to make this matter, to reconcile this matter. I'm not going to let the sun go down on this wrath. I'm going to address it. How many of us do that? That's a part of being an agent for reconciliation. Most oftentimes, we try to take that particular scripture and we try to apply it just to married couples, but it's to the body of Christ. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. We let stuff fester. We let stuff build up. We turn it over and turn it over again in our mindset. And then by the time we try to address it, we're so fueled up. We're so worked up. We can't even address it. But we have to learn how to calm down. What does the Bible say? In Galatians 5:22-26, most of us know that that's the gift of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sorry. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. For if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Okay? And so here we have the fruit of the Spirit. One thing we learned when we were doing a study on the fruit of the Spirit is something that you have to maintain. It's something you have to do. It's only going to grow because of what you do with it. If you're pruning it, come on, somebody. If you're working it, if you're allowing it to have free course in your life, that's the only way that it gets stronger. Now, the gifts of the Spirit is something that God gives you. Amen. And he gives gifts as he will, according to 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Okay. But these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are something. And what does it say? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You've got to work at loving people. And sometimes people, yeah, they are challenged to love. But you have to love them anyway. Amen. Amen. And I like how we, again, try to fix that up and say, well, I love you, but I don't love what you do. I don't love how you act. I don't love how whatever, you know. And we've got to begin to learn how to love people and pray people through their particular situation, circumstance, or whatever the case may be. And then it talks about joy. It talks about peace. Peace is something that you have to work at. Amen. You have to assist in peace having his perfect work in the body of Christ. You have to be the agent who brings about peace. You have to be the one that works it. And so that's why, oh, hallelujah, Spirit, tell me, Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important to understand. I was talking to somebody about those who incite and those who are busybodies and those who spread gossip and things of that nature and cause discord. And we have went back and was talking about the things that God hates. I want you to know that one of the things that God hates is those who sow discord among the brethren. God says, I hate that. And we sit around and sit and throw the rock and hide our hands, and that is not what God would have us to do. Oh, I'm talking and ministering to somebody. So we have to be careful that we are really, really the one, that we're being agents of God. So since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let's walk in the Spirit. Let's do what it takes to be agents of reconciliation, even if it means your feelings getting hurt, even if it means you have to take down. You know, I used to hear people say, giving up the right for the wrong. And I never understood that particular saying, giving up the right for the wrong. And then I began to understand that what it was saying is giving up what you think is right. And what looks like it appears to be wrong for the goodness of the body of Christ. Hello, someone. In other words, taking down on your opinion, taking down on what you think so that you can begin to walk together in unity and in strength. Amen. And so these are the things that God would have us to do, that we have to begin to allow God to do what he needs. We have to begin to allow God to be glorified in our situation and in our relationship. The world looks at us in the body of Christ, and they look at the disunity, they look at the disharmony, they look at, you know, how we can't agree on anything, how we're bickering over small things. The world is looking at us and saying, if that's what your God is all about, I don't want that. We have to learn how to exemplify unity in the body of Christ. We have to learn how to get past some things, and for the sake of the gospel, we have to learn how to walk together in unity. And so these are the things that God would have me to say and to minister to you on today. I wanted to look at also Ephesians 2, verses 14 and through 16. It says, for Christ himself has made peace between us Jews and Gentiles by making us all one people. He has broken down the wall of hostility that used to separate us. By his death, he ended the whole system of the Jewish law and the Jewish law that excluded the Gentiles. His purpose was to make peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new person for the two groups together as one body. Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. Not liking this faith, not liking that faith. I don't like this church because they speak in tongues and they too loud, and I don't like this church. But we all say we believe in Jesus Christ, him crucified, resurrected, and coming again, now sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and for me. We all say we believe in that. And yet, we will let the spirit of discord or how we do things bring us to a place of division. We've got to learn how to become the agents of reconciliation. If Jesus came to reconcile us as one body, why should we do anything to destroy what he came to do? Why do we not make efforts to bring peace to the body rather than causing unnecessary division in the body of Christ? Let us begin to live as people who are agents of reconciliation within the body of Christ, bringing harmony. I give the testimony about how, you know, back in the day, a Jehovah's Witness would come to my door, and I had this righteous indignation kind of disposition, and wanted to prove to them, you know, that I know the word of God and you can't dissuade me one way or another. But the thing of it was is that I wasn't doing it in love. And the Bible says in all that we do in word or in deed, do it in love. Do it in love. And so God wasn't pleased with how I was ministering to them because I wasn't ministering in love. I wasn't ministering to them to get them to know the truth that could set them free. I was trying to prove what I know. Hello, somebody. And we've got to begin to share the gospel with those or bring understanding to those who we feel don't have it. But we've got to do it in a manner in which that it brings love. We've got to do it in a manner in which people are receptive to what we have to say and that we're not offending them. Hello, somebody, with our actions. And God is such an awesome and such an amazing God. I was sharing about how, you know, I was praying for my granddaughter's mom. I had been praying in intercession for her, asking God to save her because my son and her was having a lot of problems. And I was saying, God, do something. God, I need you to do something. God, I need you to work that thing out. I need you to work it out, Father. Work it out. Save her, Lord God. Bring her to the knowledge of who you are, Father. I mean, I was praying and dropping blood, intercessory praying for her. And I got a call one day that she had become a Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, excuse you, God. That is not what I was praying for. She became a Jehovah's Witness. And I was like, oh, my God. Now, how am I going to deal with this? Because if I go about it the wrong way, I could ostracize myself from my granddaughters forever. And so I need to handle this. Well, I bless God for an Apostle Shannon Housen and the Ecumenical Network because it taught us how to look at all faiths, all religions. It taught us how to look at it, to be open-minded about some things. And so what ended up happening is that when I talk to my granddaughters, I don't talk to them saying, you know, Jehovah's Witness is a cult and, you know, you're going to die and you don't know Jesus and things of that nature. When I talk to them, I'm open-minded. I listen to what they have to say. I asked them, how was it when you went out witnessing door to door? How was it? What did you learn today? Help me to understand this. And then they'll tell me what it is that they're going through. And I'll be like, oh, that's kind of similar to what we do. What we do is thus and so. And it's not bringing hostility. They're excited about sharing with me. Watch this. And I get an opportunity to share with them as well. Amen. Amen. And so we have to learn how to not be so headstrong. And I'm a witness. I was one. I was pretty adamant. I was convinced that the Jehovah's Witness had my name on the list, and they did not even stop by my house. Because when they came to my door, I would be two steps away from being hot. Amen. And so we have to learn that Christ himself made peace with the Jews and the Gentiles by making us one people. And we have to learn how to be agents of reconciliation and find ways to minister to people, again, that's going to bring glory and that's going to bring honor to God. And so as we begin to look at that, as we begin to be disciples and go make disciples of all nations, that we begin to teach them, as we begin to do what Jesus commanded us to do in the Great Commission, we have to be sensitive to what it is that God will have us to do. We have to learn how to do things that are going to be pleasing and acceptable unto God with the ministry of reconciliation. And so these are the things that God would have me to just share with you. I was looking at this on today, and as I was studying it, I began to say, because I'm sure that there are some who are saying, you know, when we start talking about our haters and when we start talking about deleting people and when we start talking about, you know, getting rid of people, and these are, again, the saints of God. God never intended for us to do that with each other. He never intended for us to get upset with one another and delete them and do things. He wanted for us to have the ministry of reconciliation, to do everything within our power to make sure that we're bringing unity and that we're showing the love of God beyond what we feel, beyond our hurts, beyond our pain, and begin to seek out. To begin to seek out those in the body of Christ who wrong. Because most times when we fall out with people, when we want to delete them, they've made us angry, we didn't agree about something, and as opposed to us coming into agreement. Now, there's a difference in a person that you're just not agreeing with and a person who's just turned their back on God, who's saying that the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit. And they're going or having a reprobate mind. It's a difference in that. And we have to make sure that we're not trying to call people reprobate just because they didn't agree with what it was we thought was right. Amen, somebody. Come on, please pray with me. These are the things that God is standing against. We have to be able to. And so what I began to do, I began to look at the Bible talks about Paul. And the word of God was talking about how he said to separate me, Paul and Barnabas. And those of you who've read anything about it, I'm sure some of you say, well, even in the Bible, Paul and Barnabas, they had to separate. And this is true. There was a separation. But can I just say that wasn't the excellent way? This was not the most excellent way. However, God did turn it around and work it together for good because they were able to double the people who they were ministering to. Come on, somebody. They were able to fulfill or to reach areas that they wouldn't have been able to reach or would have took more time had they not separated. And so I went back and I began to look at that, and I was like, so why did Paul and Barnabas, what was the big disagreement? And so as I read that, it talked about how Mark was supposed to be on the first missionary journey and how he went back to Jerusalem. And so when they got ready to go on the second missionary journey, I believe Barnabas wanted to take Mark back with them, and Paul was like, no, he's not going back because of the fact that he didn't even stay with us. He didn't have the tenacity to stick it out the first time, so we're not going to take him with us. And the Bible says that, you know, they got upset and they went their separate ways. They went their separate ways. Barnabas got who he wanted, Paul got who he wanted, and they went their separate ways. But as I looked at that a little further, I found out that they also reconciled. Can we talk about that? That they came and they reconciled the incident, and so we need to go back and look at that, that even though the disagreement was there, it's not a matter of who was right. It was a matter of how would God get the glory from this thing. And so the Bible tells us that Paul eventually told them to receive Mark. I believe it's in Corinthians. He said, I want you to receive Mark and give him whatever it is that he needs. And I also want to note in that they didn't go off on this tangent of talking about each other. You didn't hear or didn't read in the Word of God where Barnabas, you know, verbally bashed, hello, somebody. He didn't verbally bash Paul, and Paul didn't verbally bash Barnabas. And we disagree or fall out in the body of Christ, pastors, or have a disagreement, and we just start bashing each other. And that is not the more excellent way. And watch this. It's not even for the furtherance of the gospel. Amen. It's because we got offended. It's because our little feelings got hurt. Hello, somebody. And so we have to learn, you know, that even in this particular instance, as Paul and Barnabas came into, were agents of reconciliation, and they reconciled themselves, they did what was necessary. Let's not go off on a tangent and verbally bash pastors and verbally bash each other because we don't agree. And whether it's in a, how can I say it, whether it's in private with just you and your hello, or whether it's out in the open in the church. This is not the way God would have us to handle things. And again, we have to learn how to become agents of reconciliation. We have to do whatever is necessary to bring peace in the body of Christ. And so as I'm speaking to somebody, perhaps you're a pastor, perhaps you're a leader, and there was a something that happened in your church that was not of God, and you let it lay because you felt like you was in the right and you was the pastor and they should have did what you said. I would adjure you even now to be an agent of reconciliation and make peace with that thing. Again, the Bible said, we read in the beginning that the Bible said to, if you have aught with your brother, lay your gift down. Lay your gift down. Don't preach your sermon until you go get it right with them. Don't you usher on the usher board until you go get it right. Don't you sing in the choir, hello, until you get it right. We've got to learn how to press past our feelings and make sure that we're doing it the way the Spirit of the Lord will have us to do it. Because the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came that we might have life and have it much more abundantly. And so the enemy wants to destroy the reputation. He wants to make what Jesus Christ did on the cross a null effect. And we know that that's not even possible. But we have to begin to do it the way God would have us to do it and make amends. We have to begin to learn how to forgive. Watch this. And we have to learn how to forget. The world may forgive but not forget. But in the body of Christ, we have to learn how to forgive and how to forget. Amen, somebody. Amen. And so as we begin to walk in the unity and as we begin to walk in faith and doing it the way God would have us to do it, let's do the things that are going to be pleasing unto our Father. Let's do things that's going to bring glory and that's going to bring honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we have to learn again because Jesus calls us, his followers, to be the salt of the earth. He said that we are to be the light of the world. He encourages us to let our light so shine so that the world can see our good works, so that they can see the good in us, and that they can give glory to our Father. So the evidence of Christians failing to live up to these responsibilities, it's sad. It's not good for us to fail God by not being the salt of the earth. It's not a good thing. And so we have to learn how to teach these things. We have to learn how to exemplify as pastors, as leaders. The church is looking for us to forgive first. They're watching what we do. Our parishioners are watching us. They're watching if we're bickering and if we're murmuring and if we're falling out with each other. Our parishioners are watching this. And are we being a good example, hallelujah, of who Jesus is? Oh, my God. So become an agent. Become an agent. Let our messages be about reconciliation. Let us therefore be ambassadors for Christ and understand that God is appealing through us. He pleads to us to be like Christ, to be reconciled, to be an agent of reconciliation. We have to learn how to settle disputes and avoid winding up in court and things of that nature. You know, we've got churches now going to the court. Going to the world system to settle our disputes. What's that all about? Churches suing churches. Churches going to court to get the pastor out. What is this? Hello, somebody. This is not how God would have it to be. And so we've got to begin to understand and begin to exemplify the love and the unity of God. Reconciliation has to be something that we practice. It has to be something that we practice. It has to be throughout Scripture. We have to begin to understand the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The peacemaker is the one who is called the children of God, not the one who's stirring up wrath. Now, if the peacemaker is called the children of God, then what's the wrath? The person who saw and sees the wrath and discord, what is he called? He's called the one that God hates. Hello, somebody. My God, my God. He's the one that God hates. And so we've got to learn how to settle our disputes. We've got to learn how to do it according to the word of God. We've got to learn how to be peacemakers. So have you ever been involved in a conflict within a church or with another Christian and you haven't made amends? Holy Spirit, bring to their remembrance even now in the name of Jesus. Who is it that you need to call and be an agent of reconciliation? Who is it that you need to be the bigger person and call them and say, you know what, we had a little discord and I need for us to get this thing right. I'm not exemplifying Christ. How are you going to resolve it? My suggestion would be that you pray about it. Ask God, how is it that we can resolve this matter? What is it that I need to do? God, the Holy Spirit is intelligent, and he'll show you exactly what you need to do. He'll give you the exact time you need to pick up that phone and make it right. Avoidance is not something God will have us to do. We have a habit of avoiding a situation. We have a habit of not wanting to address a situation, and that is not what God will have us to do. We have to learn from our situation. We have to learn not to yield to the temptation of holding offenses, of holding bitterness and anger and letting it grow in us. That's what we have to do. So when we think about what it is that we need to do to resolve disputes, we can look at the life of Jacob and Esau. You know, Jacob and Esau, of course, Esau wasn't very happy when Jacob stole his birthright, and Jacob was literally on the run. And the Bible talks about how when Esau wanted to approach him, how Jacob was concocting in his mind, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send these first. I'm going to send the wife. I'm going to send the children. I'm going to send and by the time he gets to me, hopefully his heart will be soft. But God had already repaired that thing. And then when Esau saw Jacob, he embraced his brother. Because God had blessed him too. not getting glorified in broken relationships. We have to be like Jacob and Esau and begin to bury the hatch. We have to begin to look past what we feel is done or how we were wronged or what somebody did to us. We have to get past that. And we have to be like Jesus Christ himself. Father, forgive them, you know, because they don't know what they do. And even if they do know what they're doing, oh Lord God, I know that this is something that was orchestrated by the enemy because he would have division in the body of Christ, God. And I would not be an agent of division, but I'm going to be an agent of reconciliation, and whatever it takes, oh God, for me to mend it, whatever it takes, oh God, for it to get fixed, God, I'm sending you first. I'm not sending a wife. I'm not sending the children. I'm not sending gifts to them. I'm sending you, God. You don't go before me. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, I send you out first in the name of Jesus, but I want to make it right. I want to make it right. So let's use that as a pattern. Let's use Jacob and Esau as a pattern. And let's address every conflict. Let's admit what we've done wrong. Let's admit and confess what we did wrong. You know what I'm saying? And just begin to resolve it. We have to learn how to be agents of reconciliation, and we have to learn how to resolve conflict. And so we want to make sure that we're prepared to respond biblically. We don't want to go off on a tangent, go off on our emotions and things of that nature. And we want to make sure that we address the person in private. Don't wait until you get out, get into a room full of people and say what you have to say, and then things get out of hand and you've only messed it up even worse. The Bible said if your brother offend him, go first to your brother. That's the Bible. Go first to them. That's the first thing we do wrong in the body of Christ. We don't go to our brother. We go to 15 other people. Amen. We go to 15 other people before we even decide to. Let's do it biblically. Let's do it the way God would have us to do it. And we have to do make every effort, repeated efforts to resolve the dispute and get things right. Resolve the dispute and get things right. And that's what we have to do on today to be agent conciliation. We're going to open and go in this in a word of prayer, but I adjure you, whenever the Holy Spirit has brought up some situations, some past hurts, some past wounds that you have not resolved, somebody that you haven't spoken to, whether it's somebody in the church or even maybe it's even somebody in your family. God is saying that it's time for you to be an agent of reconciliation and resolve it. Trust God that he is going to assist you in this endeavor. Swallow your pride. Chew up your pride and spit it out. And allow God to be glorified in this particular instance. God, I desire that you be glorified, oh Lord God. I'm laying aside what I feel, oh Lord God, and I'm lifting you up because your word said, and I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. And I know we're holding that to the word of salvation, but I believe that he's drawing us to a place of peace. He's drawing us to a place of unity. He's drawing us unto himself. In unity and in strength. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Hallelujah. So, Father God, we just thank you, O Lord God, for tonight's lesson. We thank you, O Lord God, for bringing us back to a place of being agents of reconciliation. Father, first of all, we come repenting, O Lord God, because we let the sun go down on our wrath, O Lord God. We held resentment. We thought better things, oh God, instead of thinking according to your word. You said whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Those are the things you told us to think on, but we didn't think about that. We thought about what they said. We thought about how they hurt us. We thought about what they did. And those things only added fuel to our anger, and it became bitterness, oh Lord God. And our bitterness became wrath, and our wrath became rage, oh God. And so for this, God, we come on tonight repenting, God. Now, Father God, help us, oh Lord God. Help us to deny ourselves, oh Lord God, that you may be lifted up, oh Lord God, and that reconciliation can take place. Father, we lift up the person, oh Lord God, who we feel offended us, oh Lord God. We pray for them now, oh Lord God, that you'll give them a heart to receive, oh Lord God. Give them a heart, oh Lord God, to want to reconcile and make this thing right, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, we repent. Oh God, reconcile us unto you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, be exalted, be enlarged in our relationships, in our situations, oh Lord God, for pastors and for leaders, oh Lord God. Help us to stop bickering about each other, oh Lord God, and let us be the example to our parishioners, oh Lord God, of what reconciliation should look like, God. Let that be an anointing that'll fall from Aaron's beard, oh Lord God. Let the anointing of reconciliation start at the head. My God to glory. Let us start there, oh Lord God. Hallelujah. Let us be an example to love each other, to hug on each other, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we bind the enemy that would try to keep us divided. We bind the enemy, oh God, that would try to steal, kill, and destroy. We bind the enemy even now, oh Lord God. Past hurts, past wounds, oh Lord God, that we're festering and feeding, oh God. We even now, God, release the balm of Gilead, oh Lord God, that you will begin to heal, oh Lord God, every offense, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to love you, Lord God, that nothing will offend us, oh God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, God, we love you, we bless you, and we honor you the more and the more in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ. Now, God, have your way. Have your way in us and have your way through us, oh, Lord God. Teach us, oh, God, how to cast things in the sea of forgetfulness and never let it rise against our brother and sister in Christ again, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Teach us, oh, Lord God, how to not keep a checklist according to your word, oh, Lord God. In 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, Lord God, you said love does not keep a record of wrongdoings. Help us, oh, God, not keep a record of wrongdoings, oh, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, oh, God, that the love, the agape love of you, God, will cover a multitude of faults. God, help us in the name of Jesus Christ to be agents of reconciliation. Now, God, we submit our will to you. We submit our will to your will. Nevertheless, not our will. Let your will be done in us, oh, God. Have your way in us. Have your way through us, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, oh, God, help us to love those, God, who don't even know you. Help us to learn how to forgive those in the world, oh, Lord God, because in forgiving them, oh, Lord God, it could be the very thing that will lead them to you. Help us, oh, Lord God, to have a ministry of reconciliation. Help us, oh, God, to practice it, oh, God, to think those things that are good, to think those things that are lovely, God, to think of those things that are of good report. Help us, oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, God, you arise, and the enemy be scattered. Now, God, you arise, and the enemy be scattered. In the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith. It is so, and so it is in Jesus' name. All agreeing with me, saying amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us on tonight. Be sure to look for this episode. We will post it on Facebook Ministry. We'll post it there. If you've had any questions, any comments, or anything you'd like for us to discuss, please email us. Email us at truthdeliveransministries@yahoo.com. Or you're more than welcome to hit us up on Facebook. Let us know what it is that's going on in your mind. I do pray and I believe, God, that this has reached the audience and the ears that God will have it to reach, and that we're going to be agents of reconciliation. Until next week, may God's greatest and may God's best be yours. Good night, everyone.